The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Robert Delaney was walking home from his local pub one night when his life changed forever as a result of a well-meaning intervention. Subsequently, Robert was shot by a dissident Republican killer, Daniel Gaynor, when he was at home with his daughters, Katie and Megan, who were aged just 17 months and 6 years old at the time. Gardaí believe that he was targeted because he tried to stop a fight involving the son of a former IRA man. 17 years later, Robert is in a permanent vegetative state with around-the-clock care. While Gaynor, his assistant, has since been killed, Robert's family continue to appeal to the public for their assistance with the investigation and want to encourage those with information to come forward now. I'm joined in studio by the father of Robert, Terry Delaney. Terry, good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Pat.
I want to try and get a sense of the kind of man that Robert was before he was shot.
Well, Robert had two children, as you say, living with his partner, Mags, and they were well set up. Nice apartment in Talla. He was working as a postman and he was a really happy-go-lucky kind of guy. Absolutely loved working in the post office. So
he'd just a normal guy, no connections with anything one way or the other.
And the Gardaí have repeatedly said it over the years, absolutely no connection with any criminality whatsoever.
So what you know of his intervention that night, which was kind of a Good Samaritan intervention...
Mm-hmm. Well, my understanding of it is, and the Gardaí have confirmed this, he came across a situation where a young lad was being assaulted. Robert intervened and hit the assailant and broke up the row. But the subsequent events then turned very serious and led us where we are today.
Now, there was a sort of an attempt at a reconciliation, if you like, before Gaynor came and shot Robert, because Robert became aware that there was an IRA connection and some people were not at all happy with what he had done.
Yeah, well, Robert, when in the aftermath of the incident I just referred to, Robert got word from his friends that this the guy whom he'd hit, his father was a criminal with IRA, distant IRA connections, and that he was on the lookout for him. So Robert, I hasten to add myself, my wife Nolan knew nothing about this. Robert was very quiet, joyful, kept things to himself. So he took an initiative, which was to go and see this criminal.
To try and make peace,
had a one-to-one with him. And the Gardaí have confirmed that that meeting took place. And the Gardaí said that Robert was very naive, that there was no way that this criminal was going to let him away with it. His ego had been bruised and he would lose face in the criminal community. But whatever, however, what he did do, the criminal, was give Robert a reassurance that was everything was okay, forget about it, it's okay. So that was late summer. Robert then got back to normal. Again, I stress, we didn't know anything about it. And the objective of the criminal was to catch Robert off guard, because when he was getting these warnings in the aftermath of the incident outside a pub, Robert was taking precautions, as we understand it, and obviously the criminal knew about this. And
so Robert was being vigilant.
Yeah,
he was looking over his shoulder, making sure he didn't put himself in a vulnerable position. Yeah. And then he relaxed after this meeting.
He relaxed, yeah.
So then what happened?
Well, in October then, he had switched shifts as it happened. He worked as a postman, but he switched shifts. He was in a later time. But around 6 o'clock in the morning, his doorbell rang. Robert lived in the first floor apartment, and he put his head out just to see what was happening. And the Gaynor blasted him with a shotgun in the head.
Now, Gaynor was not one of the principals, if you like. He wasn't the offended party.
No. He was what the Gardaí described as a gun for hire.
Mm. Now, he came to a sorry end himself.
He did.
What happened to Gaynor?
Well, my understanding is that he in turn was shot by a gang for some other activity he was involved in, not connected with Robert.
How did you hear about what had happened to Robert?
Well, the phone just rang at very early in the morning, 6:30 in the morning, and Robert's partner, her sister, phoned us to say, "Robert, get up here quick. Robert is in the hospital. He's been shot." So we just didn't know what the hell was going on. So we arrived in the hospital. And it became very clear from the attendance of the Gardaí and from conversations we had with the medical team, that Robert was in a very, very serious condition, and the incident itself was being treated extremely serious by the Gardaí.
Now, when you say he was in a serious condition, at what point did it become clear that he'd never make a full recovery?
Well, as the days rolled on, initially, the doctors told us, look, he's got a number of pellets lodged in his brain. We're going to see what can be done. But as the day progressed and the following day progressed, they sat us down and said, look, for a start off, his sight is gone. His eyes would have taken the blast. These are small pellets. His brain, they said, there's so many pellets lodged in his brain that it's just inoperable. There's nothing we can do. So you're always hoping, you know. You're always. Mm-hmm. So he was in the ICU. And I looked at one stage, they call us in to say, look, Robert is going to pass. You know, this is not sustainable. And so, you know, you might go in and say your goodbyes, which we did. And, you know, just...
He never did pass because he was sound in wind and limb. He was a fit young man. So
very fit. And Robert was never on a life support machine.
So he was sustaining himself all the time.
Absolutely. And still does to this day.
So it's so long ago. How is he cared for?
He's in the wonderful care of the staff at Piemont Hospital, St. Breed's. And they look after him extremely well down there. It's just a wonderful place he's in. It's a brain injury unit, and the fantastic people there.
So he's round-the-clock care.
Round-the-clock care, yeah. Yeah, because Robert will never recover.
Is there any recognition of Robert, of yourselves, when you visit, or his daughters?
Robert is in what's known as a vegetative state. That's known as the living debt. So it's where a person is not on life support. They are, the whole body, as you said a moment ago, is functioning, but they have absolutely no knowledge of who's there. Because if you went in to see Robert, you'd look at him in the bed, you'd think, there's a fine, healthy fella. And it's only when you get close to him then you realise the extent of the injuries. But
there's no response at all?
Absolutely not, no, and there never will be.
Now, what was the impact on the girls? Because one was young, but the six-year-old must have been very aware of what was happening.
She sure did, yeah. And only emerged years later. She only began to talk about it in recent years. What she witnessed that morning, she saw Robert fall back from the window and the blood and so on. Katie, the younger girl, she was a year and a half. She was obviously too young to realise what's going on. But his older daughter did realise. And, you know, she's only begun talking about it in recent years. But it was very, very tough on them, you know.
When you consider what they've lost, I mean, they have a father who's in this vegetative state in hospital. They go to visit him, but all of the things that they go through, from first Holy Communions and so on to school and all of that, no dad present to be with them for those occasions.
Well, that's what makes it harder and harder as the years go on, because Robert is missing so much. You know, his daughter had a lovely baby there year before last, and Harry. And a wonderful little fella. He's missing that. Everything you've just mentioned, all of the big events, and his sister has three wonderful lads. He would have been great with them, mad into football, mad Man United supporters as Robert was. So he's missing all of that. And that's when it comes home to you every day of the week. Like people say, well, you must get used to it. You never get used to it. And you look. And if we have the grandchildren down with us now, we think, if Robert was here.
Yeah, the crack that would be had.
Jeez. Oh, yeah. He'd really enjoy them.
So he's alive, but not really alive to them. You know, he's not aware of them.
I think my youngest granddaughter summed her up very well one day. She was walking past him. We thanks to the staff in Piemont, we get him home once a month, and he's in the house. And she was walking past him, and she said, Daddy's there, but he's not there. And I thought
captured it in a nutshell. Daddy's there, but he's not there. Now, the impact at the time, I mean, were there fingers of suspicion being pointed at Robert? You know, when you get a killing like this, they say he must have been involved. Mm. And if so, I mean, that would be terribly painful.
Well, thanks to the Gardaí in Tala, who are fantastic people, they came out very, very quickly, very quickly, and said this man had no involvement whatsoever in criminality. And I remember Pat Lorden was leading the team at the time, followed by John Walsh. And they have been brilliant with us because that reassurance, you know, is great for the family. It won't bring Robert back, but there's always a suspicion in any gangland shooting, you know, that horrible expression, it's scum killing scum. And we were very relieved, not that we needed any personal reassurance, but we were very relieved when, you know, the Gardaí came out very forcefully. And to this day, continue to say it, Robert was not involved in criminality.
So no cloud over the family. Absolutely. As a result of what happened. But at the end of the day, Robert was shot and, you know, in this ridiculous state, terrible state in Piedmont Hospital. And yet the perpetrators were never brought to justice. They knew Gaynor did it, but he was the hitman. Someone else paid him.
Exactly, yeah. Our understanding is that Gaynor was paid in the region of £10,000 to do what he did to Robert, or €10,000. And our focus in recent years has been the Justice for Robert Delaney campaign, and to kind of encourage people who have information about those who orchestrated it, paid for it, to focus our attention on them. We put up a €20,000 reward for information that will lead to their conviction, because, you know, we don't take any comfort in the death of Daniel Gaynor. We don't pass any comment on that whatsoever. But our focus, as I said, is on those who took a conscious decision to have Robert shot and to pay for it.
Now, you mentioned paramilitary connections, the dissident Republicans, real IRA, whatever they were. Did they attempt to, you know, go north or whatever and be protected from the attentions of the Gardaí?
No. The criminal concerned has criminal history. He has involved with the Republican movement, and he then later moved on to the dissident IRA, as we understand it, or dissident Republicans, or whatever they call themselves. So that's his connection with the Republican movement of late.
Yeah. Is there any protection offered to him? I mean, if people go after him, does he have, if you like, if people spoke out and said, I believe this is the man who, or these are the individuals who paid for Robert's killing, you know, people might be afraid to speak out because of that dissident Republican or paramilitary connection.
I don't think, and this is what we're trying to encourage people to come forward, I don't think he has that level of protection anymore. And I think he crossed the line in the eyes of a lot of people and what he had done to Robert. I mean, even amongst those, the cohort of people that, you know, populate the so-called Republican movement, I've never spoken to them, I don't have any dealings with them, but I just get the impression from a hearing on the ground that even they
have disavowed him.
And even they kind of said, no, not a kid like that, not a young innocent postman, no. So I don't believe this individual has that level of protection, or any level of protection for that matter.
And this gives you hope that people who do know might have the courage at this point, at this remove, to actually speak up.
Yeah, the Gardaí will always remind us that of cases where, you know, people, members of family, for example, there could be a rift in a family, or could be something, people who are former friends, they fall out, and that, you know, sparks their conscience and say, well, you know, the hell with this guy now, I'm going to go to the guards. And it has, the Gardaí tell us, they've lots of cases where they never gave up hope, or families have given up hope, only to see justice at the end of the day. And that's what we're hoping for.
What should people do? Who should they contact if they have any information that might be helpful?
Well, the Gardaí and Talla. And I can assure anybody that the Gardaí and Talla, they will deal with it confidentially. They're brilliant people up there. So I'd actively encourage them. And as I say, you know, they don't do it out of their conscience. They might want to consider the €20,000 reward.
Terry, there's a podcast?
There is indeed, yeah. And thankfully, even after all these years, Stephen Breen from the Sun newspaper, Michael Doyle, who two great reporters, contacted us recently. And they we've done a podcast with them. It's in three parts. It's called This Is Robert. And Stephen and Michael really got behind the story, because they got behind the headline of Robert's shooting, and they focused a lot on, you know, Robert's family in terms of the girls, Sinead, the sister, and they spoke quite eloquently about, you know, how they missed their dad, how Sinead missed her brother. So, yeah, it's not something you want to be doing, but we're very grateful to the Sun and to Michael and Stephen for the tremendous effort they put into that podcast.
And it's important that even though Robert is here, but he's not here, that his memory as a fine young man should be celebrated.
Yeah, I did. I often said that to my wife, like, you know, if nothing else comes out of this in terms of having on record, and we have our own website, Innocent Victims of Violence, where the whole story is there and everything that was ever printed about Robert. I think it's important from our point of view that, you know, future generations, his grandson, his nephews, his daughters, can look back with pride on Robert. You know, he's not to just have him, you know, as he's a victim of a crime, but it's a real story there.
There is a story, because it was based on a very good deed he was trying to do to help some poor young fella that led to his own misfortune.
Yeah.
So he was heroic.
Yeah, I'd say so, yeah.
Terry Delaney, Robert's dad. Terry, thank you very much for joining us in studio today.
Pleasure, Pat.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Thanks.